Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Real Talk Radio with myself, Shirley, and Sherry, along with Healing Life Hurts Ministry. Tonight's topic is When Everything Changes, It Changes Everything. We'd like to welcome a special guest tonight, Deacon Roy Punt. We welcome you, and we wait in anticipation to see if you're going to share any insight on us, because I know for myself with personal experience with you that you have had a lot of changes in your life and in your family's life and in your own personal life that brought about a lot of changes in your lifestyle that you were used to. Tonight's topic, like I said, once again, is when things change, it changes everything. And once again, we'd like to welcome Sherry, and we'd like to welcome our special guest, Deacon Roy Punt. And Sherry, I'm just going to ask you to speak a little bit about this topic tonight, because you're the one that chose this topic, and we want to know what's on your heart tonight. And then Roy and I will jump right on in there and add to it.
Well, there's many changes that we go through, and change is very difficult. And whether it's changing a habit or an attitude or a job or a city, you know, change is always a challenge. And change is even more difficult when it's imposed on us suddenly or without, you know, our approval, just all at once. And it, for example, change in health or change in relationship because of death, divorce, many circumstances there can arise that brings about changes. Maybe a loved one dies, maybe a job that you once thought was going to be a career for you just suddenly seems to have evaporated and just disappeared, you know, and it led you to nowhere. And James 4:14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away." So that's what we're on the topic of tonight, you know, because there's many changes, and these elements of changes brings about pain, and even when the change is good for us, you know, they're kind of hard to, you know, for us to work through and stuff. Like when it's a new, better job in a new city, and it means leaving friends and familiar places, and there's many changes that is good, and there's many that are painful. So that's what we want to discuss tonight, you know, and we want you to call in, and we want to give you scripture on it. We want to tell you, you know, talk to you about some of the changes that we went through in our life. We want to tell you about some Bible characters that have went through changes, and we just hope that you'll call in tonight for your input.
Yeah, and the number to call is 1-347-857-1194. You know, I was listening to you talk, and you touched on a lot of events that can take place in our lives, but there's also one other one that I find that is a good change, but it's also a different change, because when we become saved and give our life to Christ, that's a big change, the major change in our life, not just our lives, but the people around us and our old friends, our old playgrounds, our old habits, like you said. You know, we have to adjust to that, and that's kind of a little, you know, it's not stressful, but it's exciting, but it's different, but it is a change nonetheless. And then, you know, you were talking about, you know, there's death, there's marriage and sickness, there's diseases and financial, there's children, divorce, marriage, even becoming a Christian, like I just said, our spiritual, physical, mental, and emotional mentality, whether it's good or not so good, the change is going to come in our lives at one time and another in our lifetime, and there's no way around it. So we're here to help you maybe adjust a little bit better to your situation and your life changes, and we hope that we can help you here. Would you like to share anything else, Sherry, about a personal change in your life?
Well, death. That's one that's really been hard for me to get over, you know, the loss of my 23-year-old son. And it's been really hard for me, and it's a day-by-day task for me, you know. And I just lean on the Lord, you know. That's the positive change that you was talking about there that I have had to just succumb to, and that's just the Lord helping me through each day. Through each day of it, that has been the toughest one for me, is to let go of one of my children.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us deal with that death issue, whether we're saved or we're non-Christian. You know what I mean? It's just because it's part of life, and it's going to happen to each and every one of us sooner or later. But when the death of a child is something that you never really get over, Sherry. But you ask and you seek and you know, guidance from the Lord to help you live your life, you know, the way He intended, even without your child with you. You know, as myself, I lost my son also at a very young age. At that time, I didn't know the Lord, so I didn't know what to do. And that fear was just awful, because when you don't know the Lord, you can't handle these changes in your life as you would, you know, versus being out in the world. And when I was in the world, it was just, you know, like I died along with my child, and I blamed myself, and that was a very hard thing to get over. And then when I became saved, you know, that's one of the biggest issues that I had to deal with, because I took medication, because everywhere I looked, turned, I just knew I was dying. You know, I would call my mom, I would call my brother, I'm dying, help me, I'm so scared. And I mean, you know, versus not knowing God, now I can just cry out to God and say, okay, God, you know what, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, you know, and I know that your son is there, and I know my son is there, and
Amen.
It gives me peace and comfort to know that one day when I open my eyes and I'm going to be in glory with my child again forever and ever and ever, and there's not going to be any more separation from our children or our loved ones. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you have to do. You have to go through counseling and get rid of all that condemnation. And like I said, the lies of the enemy, you know, there's something I wish I could have, should have done, and, you know, that'll tear you up too. And, you know, I have a friend that deals with that too, because she lost her son to suicide. And she just told me some things about how she was feeling and what she was going through. And she's letting that fear take over. And we really can't allow that fear to take over alone, because being alone is like being right there in the devil's playground. You know what I mean? I mean, he'll just run amok in your heart and your feelings. And so those are definitely big changes, you know, because that's a separation and that's a final finality of life that you thought you were going to have with your children. And, you know, there's nothing we can do about it but just pray. Even if it takes you every second to pray, God, help me, and He'll hear your cry, you know. So I don't know if I've encouraged you or not, but I know a lot of people need to, you know, bring that and put it at the foot of the cross to Jesus. Roy, do you have anything you'd like to share?
Well, you know, change, you know, there's change that goes on every day. And the most recent change I faced was, you know, a couple of years, I hurt my hand at work, and then I went through therapy and surgery, and that drug on for quite a while. Then I wasn't able to go back to work, so therefore I was forced to retire about 3 years earlier than I had planned. And, you know, to me, you know, I had a goal set in mind, and that just threw a big monkey wrench into it. And, you know, I just started stressing over it and stuff, because I didn't want to, I wasn't ready, I wasn't prepared mentally to retire this early. But then, you know, after a few months of playing tug-of-war with this, you know, I said, what am I doing here? You know, I gotta release this and give it to God to take care of that, you know. And I just prayed to Him, you know, and God, you open and close doors for us, and I just see this as an opportunity that you closed the door for a reason. There's a purpose there, and that just give me the patience to walk this out and see what you got planned for me that for the future here on the latter side of my life here. And you know, it's been a year now, and man, I feel so blessed. You know, because God, he has freed my time up because, you know, it freed me up to be able to go spend time with my mother when she's sick. As to before, I had to go through mother's process to request time off and so forth. And now I just have the freedom of movement. I've with the church, I've driven the youth to Chaman, New Mexico for a week. And, you know, if I was still working, I wouldn't be able to participate in those things. So, you know, there's a blessing that we don't see at the time, and you know, because we want what we want now. And God, you know, he just has something better in store for us. We just got to be patient, and we mostly got to rely on God, because he will take care of you.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Sherry.
Yeah, he's right on that. Just know that God knows what's best for us, you know. And one thing that we can know is that changes in life, they're not going to stop. Change is what is. That's what is. That's what's going to be. But what we can do, what can be changed, is the way that we deal with it and the way it changes us, you know. The way we're going to deal with it. We have to deal with it. I mean, ignoring something is not going to make it go away. It's only going to make it even worse to have to deal with just procrastinating and putting off, you know. It's only going to make it worse to have to deal with. But when we see that, okay, this has happened, and I've got to change the way I'm dealing with it. And the best way, as you said, Sister Shirley, deal with it, is ask for help. And you can't ask for any better help than asking the Lord, you know, asking Jesus Christ into your heart and your life if you don't know him. You know, if you do know him, you know, sometimes going through things, it's hard to realize, hey, I got help now. I don't have to do this alone. You know, I've got help with this now. And just cry out to him, you know, cry out to him. And I'm telling you, you will cry. You will go through changes, and you will cry, and you will break down, but that don't mean you're weak, you know. You're just emptying out, you know, and sometimes that's the best thing to do is just empty out and empty out to the Lord and just give it to him, because your tears, he will see, and he does see, and he will help you.
Amen. Yes, he will. Yes, amen. That's correct. And I can also relate to Deacon Roy, when he was talking about, you know, he was forced into retirement and that change took place, and at first he couldn't see the blessing in it, you know, and where God was really leading this, you know. When I had my car wreck and my mother, she was with me, and that really took its toll on my life, you know. When I get, I couldn't go back to work anymore, and I tried, and I ended up having to quit again, you know, and I felt like such a failure, and you know, my speech, sometimes when I get very upset, I'll start stuttering, you know, and my husband, I'll have to start answering and getting the questions out for me and saying the words, and I get so frustrated. But then I thought, you know, one time I remember telling the Lord, you know, I wish I could do full-time ministry for you, Lord, and, you know, like Roy said, he opened up those doors, and I told him to open the ones he wanted, close the ones he doesn't want me to walk through. And I may not make as much money as I used to, but I am being taken care of, and I'm not really wanting for anything, you know. I'm not a very materialistic person, so that money that I get, I do the best I can with it. But I find, like Roy, you know, God's opening the doors for me to do full-time ministry now. And it frees me up to do so much more, and I am so much more happier now than I was when I was working. Even though I make less money, it's okay. I'm happy. And that was a change, though, from making, you know, three times more than what I get now, and to compared to what I was making. And that's okay, though, because I'm happier, and it just made me feel freer, you know. So, you know, you go from those changes, but you have to stop and think, okay, you know, the first thing you got to do is say, God, take care of it. The second one is say, let me know where you're leading me. And I'm just thankful that, you know, the Lord spared my mother's life and my life, you know, from that wreck, and that he has put me where he's putting me right now. And I just thank him, you know, very much to be able to even be here. And something like this is like a dream to me. You know, it might be just internet and radio to some people. To me, it's like a dream, you know. I never would have thought that God would have put us on the air like this. And it's just amazing what, you know, some good changes can bring on. You said you wanted to bring up.
Amen, and we had to go through drastic changes to get to the good. You know,
yeah,
we had to go through the drastic ones.
Yeah. You know, you wanted to talk about some of the people in the Bible and the changes that they went to. But, you know, when it looked like that storm was just overtaking them wave by wave, you know, like Job, you know, every set before he even had a chance to take a breath and turn around, they were coming in and telling him his children were gone, his cattle was gone, you know, and everything he owned was gone. And then all of a sudden, you know, is, you know, you need people that's going to stand by you through those times. You don't need people to walk out of your life at that time. Like, his friends were there, and his poor wife, she even said, won't you just curse God and die, Job? And Job said no. And he waited, and, you know, God allowed him to be tested to the point where he just kept holding on to God, you know, and then he gave him back, you know, more than what he had to begin with. And that was because he held that faith, and he knew God had a purpose for this, but he just didn't know what it was, you know. But he stood the test, you know. We have to stand the test of every change in our life. Doesn't mean we're not going to get disappointed, because we are. Doesn't mean we're not going to get a little stressful, but we are. But it means don't give up in the middle of your storm. God's bringing you through something, and he wants you to see something, just like he did with you, Sherry, just like he did with Deacon Roy, and just like he's doing with me, you know?
Amen.
Does that make any sense?
Makes a lot of sense to me, honey. You know, the Bible is filled with stories of people who had to experience the pain that was associated with change in order to receive the blessing that positive change brought into their lives. They had to go through it to receive those blessings afterward. And if we don't hold on, you know, and see what's going to happen after the storm, we'll never know, you know. And Satan, he tries to discourage you. He wants you to think that it's not going to get any better. He wants to put the thought of suicide in there, tell you you have nothing to live for. You're not any good for anything, you know. Back to, he just really just does the number on us, on our nerves and stuff, and causes health problems. These bring on health crises, you know, sickness and stuff in our body, and these feelings and stuff, and this feeling of hopelessness, and we get to where we're not capable of even helping ourselves, you know. And then financial crisis. You know, that's change of jobs, change of income, change of status. That's what you guys were talking about there, you know, and it just throws a lot of stress on you. And then even a crisis of faith, you know, as you said in the last talk show, you was talking about spiritual bankruptcy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've all been there at some point in our life, you know. I think we've everyone been there. But, you know, one thing that I do know, that there's not anybody that's had breath going in their body that hasn't experienced a change. We've all experienced changes, and we've lived through them, you know. We've lived through them, you know, even the worst of changes, and we've lived through them, and we didn't think we could. We didn't think we could do it at all. But the Lord gave us that strength, you know, and he gave us that inner strength. And I'm like you, Sister Shirley, I don't know how people make it, you know, that don't know the Lord. You know, my heart just goes out, and my heart just bleeds for them all the time. You know, Lord, let them know you, you know. Send somebody to say a word, you know, to lead them to you. because you know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
But I just pray for the lost all the time, the ones that don't know him, you know, that you will get to know him. And it's not hard to do. It's not hard to do it all if you take that first step. That's the toughest one. That's the toughest one, you know. And then after that, we give thanks to the Lord and just we're able to do that. And sometimes it's hard to let go. Like I say, while we're going through a storm, we forget that he's there sometimes. I even do, as long as I've served him, you know. I even do, and I think, Lord, what am I doing here? You know, it's not been that long ago. I was really going through, got up one morning, was so sick. I was just so sick. I was in so much pain. The Lord spoke to me and said, I opened up a way for you to get help. You know, get on there. Get people praying for you, you know. And I thought, yeah, Lord, what in the world am I doing? See, I was going through that pain, and I forgot all about it, you know. And sometimes that's what Satan tries to do to us, you know. He tries to lure us away, you know, from what is good for us and what is right for us. But I just pray for everybody out there. And if you feel like you need prayer tonight, you know, and you just want to pick up the phone and you want to talk to us and say, hey, I'm hurting. I don't really want to talk about it. But I need you to pray for me. You know, we'll be glad to do that for you tonight. The number is 1-347-857-1194, and we're waiting on you to call us. I'm a little bit dry. I had to take some medication today, and it just dries me out so bad. But, you know, the Lord knows, and I'm just trusting in him with my health and everything. I'm just trusting in the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Was there anything that anyone in the Bible that sticks out in your mind, Roy, that might have went through some trials and tribulations but came out on the better end of the deal?
Well, you know, like Sherry was saying, there's not one breathing creature that hasn't faced change. And, you know, we're creatures of habit here by nature, and you know, change scares us to death, you know, and whether we don't want to let go of the things that and the lifestyles and so forth. But, you know, Abraham, look at Abraham. When God called him, you know, he had to pack up and he took everything and, you know, left everything behind to go to somewhere he didn't know. And, you know, it's a scary thing. But, you know, when you got God in your corner and God leading you, yeah, you know, it just makes a whole different perspective of things that, you know, that fear, and like say the devil is going to place that fear upon you, you know, not to take that step, not to change. But, you know, change is a natural thing, and we just don't want to face it. You know, there's, like say there's numerous people, you know, just about everybody in the Bible, you know, has a story of change. And so, just as we do, I remember before I was a Christian, you know, my wife, she was saved before I was. And, you know, I didn't know what to think of it, you know, because, you know, I just didn't think of God or Jesus, didn't know who they were or what they were about. And then my wife found Jesus. Then, you know, I started seeing change in her, changing her behavior, changing her speech, changing her actions, and the change in how she treated me. And, you know, after a couple, 2 or 3 months, I got to looking at her, and, you know, I was torn between, you know, I didn't like it, but yet I wanted what she had. And, you know, it was the change that I saw in her that you know, God put it into me to seek him. And then once he put that desire in your heart, then, you know, you're on fire for him. And just like Sherry said, my heart just goes out to folks that don't know Jesus, because, you know, God sends people messages in your life, you know, to try to reach out to you. You know, we just got to have open ears and open eyes an open heart to that message, to receive it.
That is so true. So true. While we're on the subject of your wife, marriages, you know, the next one we'll talk about, I was married, you know, several times before. I'm not going to say how many, but every one of them failed, you know, because I went into the same old habit of what I was used to, you know, abusive. I'm just going to say that. And every one of them failed, but I met one who was totally different than the others, and it kind of confused me theirs. So I had to do a bad change versus a better change in my life and learn that not everybody, you know, is, you know, out to hurt me. And, you know, there are good people out there, and there's good men out there. But it's like once you get used to something, like you said, Roy, it's a habit. It's a habitual thing that you go through until somebody shows you differently that there's a different way to live a life, there's a different way to have a marriage. You know, my husband and I were married, and he said he was saved and everything, and he knew I was a Christian woman. But it was so easy for me in the beginning just to be accepted because I started going back to that old change, you know, that old lifestyle with him, you know. And then one day God told me, he said, this is not what I saved you for, to go back into your old playground. He said, you're a Christian. You're my child. You're supposed to, you know, uplift my name and show people that you are changed and that I did this change in you. Well, I did that. And then in the beginning of our marriage, we had problems because, you know, he was used to the old Shirley, you know, the fun Shirley that used to go out, okay, let's just do whatever you want to do. But inside, the whole time, I was dying inside because I knew that's not what I was called to do. And then when I finally put my foot down and said, okay, Lord, marriage or not, you know, I'm going to have to do this. And then he seeing the change in me, and it's been a slow change, but it's making him, you know, through my change and his change, want to get closer to the Lord and want to do better. And he sees me doing the studies, and he sees me praying, and he sees me crying out at times, you know, in my pain or whatever to God. But it's making him a better person. But what I'm saying is there are changes, because when you go from the old to the new, there's a lot of changes in between there that you have to learn to go through together and stick them out together. And the only way we can do that is through prayer. And through God leading us through that, you know, not to give up because things are different now, you know, and it's a good change. Does that make any sense?
Amen. Yes, it does. And, you know, Brother Roy was talking about there with Abram, you know. That's what his name was before it was changed. Even their names were changed in the Bible. You know, talk about having to adjust. And he told him, you know, to leave your native country and leave your relatives and leave your family members. And that's found in Genesis 12, 1 through 3 is where it reads about that. And it says, I will make you into a great nation. See, he said, go to the land that I show you. So it was a land that he didn't even know had never been in. It was strange territory to him. That has to be scary by itself. You know, and even through all these changes, you know, he had to feel like that he was just losing his identity. You know, he was having to leave his family and leave his relatives and leave his father's family and go into a nation, you know, into another place, you know. And the Lord told him, he said, I'll make you into a great nation and I'll bless you and I'll make you famous and you'll be a blessing to others. And I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who treat you with contempt, you know, and all the families on the earth will be blessed through you, you know. So the changes that he had to make there was the fear of living in a different culture, language, traditions. You know, when you have to relocate because of a job, you have to relocate because, you know, to pick up, you know, work, you know, you go through that same thing, you know. You're changing your whole tradition. You're changing your culture. You're changing a totally different place. And that's what Abram went through there. Abraham, you know, later his name was changed to Abraham. The pain of leaving his relatives, his home, his family, you know, behind, you know, for good. And then the risk of leaving, you know, the risk of leaving all the security of his home for the unknown place that God was sending him to, his unknown land. He had never traveled it. He didn't know there had to be fear there, you know. I know when I'm getting ready to make some kind of change in my life, I'm just a nervous wreck. You know, I'm a nervous wreck. But his name and his family would be great. Now, this was the blessings that was associated with the change. You know, his name and his family was going to be great. He had to listen. He had to obey the Lord. God would give him many descendants, you know. And, Abraham, he considered the changes. He considered the change. He examined the pain, and he decided that the blessings was worth it. You know, that's what we have to decide. You know, when we're going through a change, you know, we have to decide. You know, we have to make a decision how we're going to handle it. And then, you know, and then to just let the Lord help us with it. You know, his blessings is going to be worth every bit of it, every bit of what we're feeling, you know. But, you know, and today Abraham is called, you know, father of all those who have faith. As Paul talks about in Galatians 3:7, says, therefore be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. What a blessing to be remembered in such a way. You know, what a blessing.
Yeah, yes, indeed. I was thinking about the woman with the issue of blood. For 12 years, she dealt with that. And, you know, back then they were considered unclean when they were bleeding, so nobody was there. You know, she went all to the doctors, and she did everything that she could do, and she spent all of her money, but then she heard Jesus was coming. And that's in Luke, chapter 8. And then it says that, you know, the woman with her faith, she wanted to be healed because she trusted and took that leap of faith and took that chance and that change in her life, because she knew if she would just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, she'd be healed, you know. And then, you know, she it says right here in Luke 8:47, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, which is Jesus. She declared unto him before all the people for what, because she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And Jesus, you know, he didn't get mad at her. He just told her, he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace. You know, that was a big change for her. You know, she took that big leap of faith in Jesus, you know, of Nazareth, to coming through her town, you know. And she just knew. She just knew in her heart that he would be the one to heal her. If she would just get close enough to him, she would be healed. And I wish and pray that each and every person who has a sickness right now or a disease, I don't care if it's physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual, if they would just get a hold of Jesus and trust him with everything they have in their body and just reach up to him and trust in him and reach out to him, that he would say, be healed and go in peace. You know what I mean? I just want that so bad for so many people. You know, I don't know why sickness comes on people. I have, you know, studied on healing and sicknesses and diseases for a long time, and all I know is I'm just going to keep my hope and my faith in Christ and allow him to do the healing in there, and I'm just going to continue to pray for healing and deliverance in their bodies. You know, I've seen God's miracle hand at work with people with sicknesses, and there is hope, because Christ is our only hope in this whole world. If you hope in nothing else, you have to hope in God, because he is. He is the great I am, you know. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am that I am he. And I believe that with my whole heart, Roy and Sherry. I really, truly do.
Amen.
And yes. And I say that because, you know, a lot of people need to be encouraged about trusting God to be healed, you know, because in Isaiah it talks about, you know, by he came to those who needed him, you know, who were heartbroken, who needed freedom, who needed, you know, liberty, who needed healing and salvation and break those chains, and who was in bonds and chains, you know, and And they need to know the truth that that can happen to them, because he didn't change. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. You know, I was working in the emergency room, and then I'll let y'all speak. I'm sorry. I was working in an emergency room, and there was this young man in there. He couldn't have been no older than about 25, 27 maybe. And he was laying there, and they had this nose tube in him, and he was just laying there just yellow as can be. And I was just a baby Christian at that time, and everybody let me know it, you know, because I was kind of, you ain't telling me nothing my God can't do. You know, I'll tell you what he can do. Well, I went in there, and I asked the nurse, I said, what's wrong with this young man? And they said, well, he's going to die. I said, he's going to die. She said, yeah, we can't do nothing for him. And that gripped my heart so bad that I just went outside and I fell on my knees and I yelled at God. I said, Jesus, you said in your word, if we believe, we can be healed. I said, Father God, help me. I need you to heal this man in here. I don't want to go believing that he's just going to die, because in your word, you said you cannot lie and he's going to be healed, Jesus. I said, give me the strength, give me the courage to continue believing in you. And I'll tell you what, I went back in that ER and I went to lunch and I came back. That boy was sitting up. They took all that stuff off of him, and I was praising God and crying, and I just thank God, because he showed mercy and favor on that boy. And that boy was on his way to death's bed, death's door. And I don't say it's because of me, but I'm just saying, God healed that boy. And I ran into him a few months later, and he came to me and he said, I just want to thank you. I said, for what? He said, for praying for me. Excuse me. He heard me while he was dying, while I was praying for him. And that just gave me such hope right there, to know that my God will do what he says he will do. Amen.
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 I can't promise any of you listening right now that he's going to heal you, but I can promise you that you can trust in him, and he will do the best thing he can for you. I've seen miracles happen, and we've talked about this before. This is a year of miracles and wonders, and I'm telling you, I feel it in my heart. I feel it in my every being. If you just trust and reach out, you're going to receive what you need from the Lord this year. I'm telling you, trust in him. Y'all take over.
No, I totally agree there that, you know, God does hear prayers and he does answer them. We may not see the answer, you know, down the line, but, you know, God does answer them in ways that we can't imagine. I can remember a time where I came home from work one afternoon and I was just plain tuckered out. So I laid down on the couch and took a nap. And then I just dreamed. A bright light, you know, I was standing in a parking lot talking to a couple people at work, and then this bright light appeared, and I fell down to my knees, and it was God. God said, tell him it's not his time yet. And then, you know, the light disappeared, and then I looked up to other two, and I said, did you hear that? Did you see the light? And they said, no. So, you know, I didn't think nothing of that. This was in something like July. So come November, I was in the parking lot, and the two people that I dreamed about that I was talking to told me that there was an employee in the hospital that was going to die of cancer. They said he wasn't going to live to see Thanksgiving. I just felt uneasy. And, you know, I went about a week, you know, and I just had this uneasy feeling. I couldn't, you know, I was just so restless. And then all of a sudden, you know, I was fighting it. You know, and here's a change, you know, for me to go and tell somebody something like that. That's a scary change for me to do. And then finally, it was a Friday, and I got off work. And so I drove to the hospital, and this person had just got out of surgery again. His head was all bandaged up. And I knocked on the door, and he looked up, and I asked, could I come in? And he said, yes. And then I said, you know, you might think I'm crazy, but, you know, God told me to tell you it's not your time yet. Can I pray for you? And you know, I was shocked because he accepted me. And then he took my hand, so I knelt at his bed, and I sat there and prayed for healing for him. And the poem, God told me to tell you, it's not your time yet. And about a week later, his parents came from Indiana, take him back home so he can die at home. So we had a little going away poem, and then I reminded him to thank God for your healing, your blessing. And he says, well, I'm just going to go home and die. I said, no, you're not. I said, because God's word is final. He told me it's not your time yet. And this was 8 years ago, and this guy is alive and well today.
Amen.
And,
amen.
You know, that's just so powerful. And then, I never put those dreams together. And then one night God gave me another dream. So he put those two dreams together. You know, he put that dream in July with November. And he told me, this is what I wanted you to do. And after I did that, I had such a peace come over me. And then this was about 1 o'clock in the morning. I woke up and I felt like I was just on fire. I felt this heat in my body. I called my pastor, woke him up. He thought I was just rambling drunk or something, because I wasn't making no sense at all. So I couldn't. I woke up my wife. I woke up my kids, trying to tell them, and they just shooshed me off. And so, you know, I just got drunk. So I went to work, sat in my office, and I was just sitting there banging on walls, just, you know, giving praise and glory to God. And for 2 weeks in a row, I sat there and I told everybody that same story, you know, for 2 weeks. And then the heat just left.
Oh, Jesus. That was the power of the Holy Spirit filling you, Roy. You know that now.
Amen to that.
Amen. Sherry, would you like to share a little bit?
Well, with talking about people of the Bible, you know, what just come to my mind was Mary, you know.
Yes.
And in Luke chapter 1 there, 26, I think it starts at 26, and I think it goes up to almost 40 there. And, you know, this was during the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and God sent an angel to Nazareth into the village there in Galilee. And to a virgin named Mary. And she was engaged to be married, you know, to a man named Joseph. We know the great story, you know. And you talk about something to have to deal with, you know, the way it all happened. You know, Gabriel appeared to her, and he greeted her, and he told her that God was with her and found favor in her. And, you know, she was confused and she was disturbed. And she had to be, you know, and you talk about emotions and stuff, you know. She had to have them, you know. Mary had to have them. And she tried to think in her mind, I'm sure, you know, what in the world this could all mean, you know. But the angel tells her not to be afraid, you know. And that she had found favor with God. And he told her that she was going to conceive and give birth to a son, and even told him what she would name him and everything, you know. And we know the story there, you know, the way that all took place and everything. But look at the change that God put before her. I mean, she had to change her whole concept of what God could do, you know. And it was miraculous, you know. For him to even enable her to conceive a child like that right there. Something that had never been done before, you know. She'd never been with man, you know, in that way, you know. And the possible loss of her reputation through this and even a future husband, you know, she's like, what's he going to think of me, you know, when all this happens, you know. When you talk about emotions and stuff and changes, you know, Mary had to go through it. She had to feel all that. Oh, yeah, and also the fact that she would, you know, always be different, and she would always have to live with that over her head, you know, and be looked down upon, you know. That by itself, you know, was a lot to have to deal with. I mean, you know, that's a lot to have to relate to, and she faced the pain of loneliness and solitude in her future because of her special experience, see? But Mary saw, she also saw the blessings that was attached to this change. You know,
yeah.
She would have favor with God, a special favor not given to another woman, you know. And she would be the mother of the King, the Messiah, the Son of God, you know. And she went through a lot of changes. I mean, but she had to change her mind about what God could and couldn't do. And God blessed her in a way no other woman has or will ever be blessed again, you know. And so she really had to go through some changes there, you know. And she had to realize, okay, she had to just give in to it and go with it because she knew that she was going to be blessed. You know, in the end, she just saw that, you know, what God had for her and that he had blessings for her. And it's the same way with us when we go through things, you know. We just give it to him, you know, it's going to change. Life is all about changes. And we serve a God, that's what he's about. He's about changes, you know. And so he will help us change, and he will help us go through changes. And you know, that's the best advice that I could give anybody on that right there, because he certainly has with me many things that I've come up against, you know. Nobody likes to go through changes. But, you know, when you let the Lord help you, it's sure a lot better than trying to do it on your own.
Excuse me. You're sure right there. And, you know, he always makes provisions when the changes come, too. It's not like we're going through them alone, Sherry and Roy, because in the story in chapter 1 of Luke, verse 38, you know, it talks about where Mary said, "Behold, handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto thy according to thy word." And the angel departed from her, and Mary rose in those days and went to the hill country in the city of Judea and entered into the house of Zacharias. And, you know, God I'm talking about, told Joseph, sent an angel also to him, you know, Mary, to take her as your wife, not to be afraid, because this is of the Lord, you know.
Amen.
And he wouldn't even let him speak until the baby was born, until he called him Jesus. And I thought, you know, that's amazing because, you know, like you said, sometimes even the smallest change can kind of disrupt our way of living in our life and everything. But God sends us people to help us along with those changes that come in our life. And I'm just thankful for that. But, you know, I'm just thankful that Mary was, you know, obedient to God, because we wouldn't have a Savior, you know.
Amen.
I'm just thankful for that. And I appreciate her obedience and her trust in the Holy Spirit to come upon her, you know, and conceive that Jesus, our Savior. And like I'm saying, in every obstacle and every course of our life, we have someone there to help us, you know, in the flesh, not just only in the spirit, because we have the Holy Spirit to help us along with that. But you were talking, and you were saying, you know, I just have this burden on my heart tonight, and it's about healing. I just, you know, I don't know why. I don't know what it is. I just know God can do miracles, and God will do miracles if we just trust and ask him. You know, and we have people in faith stand around us and to agree with us in prayer.
Amen.
Anyway. Hi, caller. I know you're there. Welcome to the show. If anybody else would like to call in, the number is 347-857-1194. Real Talk with Shirley and Sherry, and along with Healing Last Hurt. And our special guest tonight is Deacon Roy Punt, and we're just going to continue on. You know, as for myself, I'll just say a little testimony about myself and changes and stuff, you know. It's like things that I used to do, you know, like walk a little bit or work or you know, move around as fast as I used to. I know I can't do that, and I had to, you know, learn to accept that and to slow down, you know, and not move so fast, because sometimes when I would move too fast, you know, I'd hurt myself, and I'd be so busy about things, you know, and God has a way of slowing us down sometimes, you know, but he always has a blessing around the corner, you know. It's like today they were talking, you know, the pastor was saying, keep driving and keep going forward. Just keep driving and keep going forward and don't give up. And that made a lot of sense for me, you know, because I used to just keep driving. I just kept going and going and going and going until God said, slow down now. Now's the time you need to slow down and take everything in and just learn and do things differently, you know. Some people, you know, who have strokes have to have a different way of life and learning, and their whole life changes. You know, it's like this one lady told me her story, and she said one day she was fine, and next thing you know, she woke up in the hospital after a three-month coma, and she said she couldn't hardly talk and she couldn't hardly move, and she said it's like I was in somebody else's body even though I had my mind. And she said I had to learn a whole new way of life. And she said, and that was the biggest change that she's, you know, had to ever go through in her life. And she said it's still one that she's still learning to accept and learning how to deal with and doing things over and rethinking things, you know. Even her family, her children, you know, she has to do things differently there. And she said, but she's just asked that we would keep her in prayer, you know, and lift her up to the Lord. Her name's Shannon, that she would just be able to, you know, welcome this change and do the best that she can with what she has left, you know. So we'll lift her up in prayer tonight, too. Thank Deacon you. Roy, you have anything to say?
You know, I was just thinking about Noah. You know,
yeah,
building the ark and stuff, and you know, being on that ark for all that time. You know, the change was tremendous there because they had to repopulate the whole world, and you talk about a change in life and in everything. You know, and yeah, you know, it's just hard to fathom, you know, going through such things like that, and it makes the changes that I go through seem like nothing at all, you know, compared to folks like Noah and Moses and Abraham and those guys, because, you know, it's just amazing. But, you know, it all falls back that God is with you. And,
yeah,
you know, he provides, like you said, he provides the things you need. You know, you just got to walk in that faith. And we just got to trust in God to see us through these changes and just know that there's something better than what we've gone through before. In my old life, before being a Christian, you know, that's a tremendous change from now to being a Christian. And there's no way that I want to go back to that old self, because, you know, that old self is dead and gone. And,
yeah.
You know, I love my new self.
Yeah.
And the life in itself is, you know, God has given me a better way to cope with things, as long as I trust in him. But you can always tell when you're so consumed by your situation that you forget about God, and then that's when everything goes crazy for you. But when you put your eyes back on God, then you're back in line with God, and the peace comes back to you. So, amen to that. And I fully believe in that.
Yes, I agree. I agree with that. You know, Sharon and I were even talking about, you know, Noah the other night. You care to tell them what we were talking about, Sherry?
when we was talking about Noah, honey, how that they had to, you know, they had to make fun of him and stuff, you know, and he really went through a lot of, it had to be depressing for him, you know. I mean, all the years he worked on that and the way that they came along, they made fun of him, you know, and God seen that he had help, you know. God supplied him with everything he needed and all the instructions and everything. You know, he did me like that one time with a job that he put me on, woke me up and gave me the instructions and told me how to do it all. And I was telling Sister Shirley, I said, I definitely know what Noah felt like because I got that experience myself, you know, the way he, because, I mean, I had never done anything like that. And he would wake me up and he would tell me how to do it. And I worked with Down syndrome kids that helped me pull this off. And we took trash, what people would throw away, and God would wake me up in the middle of the night and tell me what to do, and I'd write it down so I wouldn't forget it. And he just kept giving it to me that way, and we helped see that the back of a church was built on to, you know. It was built on for Sunday school rooms and a fellowship hall, and the Lord spoke to me and told me to do it. And I said, Lord, I've never done anything like this. And he opened up ears and hearts, and I got everything donated. It cost the church nothing. I mean, God took care of it, you know. That's all I can say. I didn't even know what I was doing. I would get in a vehicle, and I'd have to have somebody take me. And I said, they said, where do you want me to stop? And I said, I don't know, just drive. And I would wait on the Lord, and the Lord would say, here is where I want you to stop. And I would get out, and I'd say, pray for me. You want me to do anything? Just sit here and pray for me. Just pray for God to open up their hearts and their ears to listen to what I'm having to say. And God did that for me. And I was telling Sister Shirley, I said, I definitely know, you know, what he felt like, you know, with God waking him up and telling him how big to build it and what to use and all the instructions on it. I definitely know what that man felt like, you know, because I went through something like that myself. I didn't build no ark, but it was just as big of a task for me, as though I'd built that ark. So the Lord will do that for us. I'm telling you, He will call us to do things like that right there, and He will, you know, and we'll find ourselves not in the same predicament that these Bible characters have been in, but very similar to them. You know, and the same God that led them through is the same one that's leading us through it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I think that's so wonderful because we can apply Noah to our life as well. Through every change we go through, God gives us an instruction manual. It gives us an instruction on how to deal with, you know, sickness and divorce and death and salvation and healing and marriage and children and just how to live life and live it to the fullest and abundantly, you know. It's His word. And that's why it's so important to use God's word, because it is life to us and life to others. You know, it brings freedom to others and to us, and it brings enlightenment, God's word, of what we're supposed to do in our life through every circumstances. You know, look at Naomi and Ruth, you know, lost her husband and her children, and she decided to follow her and go wherever she wanted, and they went through some hard times. You know, they didn't have enough food. Yes, they did, but they stuck together. And then what was it she said? She said, your God will be my God, you know. And then God gave her Boaz, you know, gave her a man to take care of her and her mother-in-law and to love her and to help her and everything, you know. God is our helper, and He will send people to help us in every situation. We're never alone because God's word promises, you know, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. You know, you don't have anything because you don't ask me. You know, ask and you shall receive. You know, it's like everybody says, knocking, that door is going to be open. It may not be when we want to open because we have to go through some stuff because God's trying to change us. It's like He has to take it, like I said the other night, He has to take a little layer out at a piece of a time and peel it out and deal with that one and then get that one to where you're okay with it and you understand it, and then you peel another one, you know. And yes, I got that off of that little show Hello, Green Monster. Not Monster, but Green Sock. You know what cartoon I'm talking about with the onion?
Yeah.
What's the name of that show?
I can't think of the name of it, but I know what you're saying. I know which one you're talking about.
I just love that show. It's a little kid show, but that's where I got the onion thing from, and God just kept dealing with me about the layers of the onion and everything. And once you get down to the core of it, you know, then everything's going to be all right, and it'll stop making you cry so much, and it'll stop making you thinking all the time, and it's not going to hurt your eyes anymore, because you're going to fix your eyes on the Lord and not that onion and all the problems in it and all the changes. Yeah.
Amen. You know, you're talking about onion. He's talking about onion there, and, you know, that's the way these emotions and stuff come with these changes. You know, they make us cry, and they make us have deep sadness, and, you know, we don't know how to deal with it, and even bitterness and negativity. You know, we start looking at everything negative, and these are controlling emotions. And you think, okay, what do I do now, you know? It changes the way that we treat each other. It changes, it makes so many changes in our life, you know. And in the time of turmoil, when you know the Lord, He empowers us with the ability to make some positive changes. We have to know Him to be able to do that. You know, it's just amazing what the Lord can do if we give it to Him. You know, I saw something, Sister Shirley, that you put on there with healing life's hurt. And I read that this afternoon, and it just stuck with me. It says, rain falls because clouds can no longer handle the weight. Tears fall because the heart can no longer handle the pain.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, you know. And that's the way we do when we cry, you know. And, you know, and we break down with it. We've had all we can stand, you know, and we break down and we cry. And I don't know about you, Sister Shirley, or you, Brother Roy, you know, with the Lord giving us the burden for the hurt and the loss, you know, and we have to care about the lost. You know, that's what we're in this for, you know. And I wake up sometimes and just cry. I can't do nothing but cry. You know, my heart just bleeds for people that don't know Him, you know. And, you know, and I think about life in itself. And life dishes out some things that's hard to handle. You know, it's kind of like a ball game. This is what I just pictured in my mind, like a ball game. You know, it's a slow curveball when we're expecting a fast one, or it's a really fast one when, you know, we're not even expecting it at all. And it confuses us and it challenges us in ways that we never expected. Completely, you know, thrown at us just out of nowhere, you know. And it is full of these situations and circumstances, and the tears are going to fall, and but you know they're not in vain. You know, Psalms 56:8 says, "You have taken account of my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book?" You know, and that's. You know, translating it there, you know, in the New English Version, you know, but that's what it's talking about. You know, he's bottling up our tears. You know, they're not going in vain. When we talk to the Lord and we give it to Him, they're not going in vain. They're not going in vain at all. The Lord will take care of us, you know. Just call out to Him and give Him what's bothering you. You know, we can help you pray. We don't know who you are out there, but we know you're hurting because God give us that burden for you. God wakes us up and the tears just flow, and you know, and we say, Lord, we don't know, you know, why we're so burdened, you know, or what we're burdened for, who we're burdened for, but Lord, we're going to pray for all that's out there and all that's hurting, Lord. And you use us, Lord, you know, And that's the reason why we're here tonight. That's the reason why we're on here tonight, you know, is to help those that are hurting and try to give you the word of God to help you see that you don't have to carry this alone. You're not alone. He said he'd never leave us alone, never forsaken us. So, I mean, that's awesome revelation in itself to me, you know, to know that no matter who leaves my side, you know, I can always count on him. I am not alone.
Amen.
Amen, Sherry. What a wonderful testimony. Robin, are you with us tonight, honey?
I'm here.
Would you like to share anything on your heart tonight?
Well, I know that every time I have a valley, and I've got to call them valleys because you can't see anything when you're in those valleys. And I thought I was at my wit's end. And I told you and Sister Shirley this, that when I thought that there was no one else here for me, I mean, because I'm in a state, in a town, to where I've got no relatives at whatsoever here. I mean, I'm here with just my kids and my fiancé. And when I thought I was all alone and lost, needed someone, a voice to talk to give me answers outside of the Lord. I know that the Lord was there, but I kept telling him, Lord, I know you're there, and I can sense you're there, but I really, really need someone to talk to that can understand what I'm saying and respond without me having to sense. And it was like within a week, the Lord sent me Shirley.
Amen.
And I don't feel alone no more. I mean, I wasn't spiritually alone. I was just that I was physically alone because I didn't have anyone to really talk to at all. And I do know that the Lord did send me Shirley, and I keep telling her she's an angel from heaven. And Shirley, as Sherry is too. I mean, they really are. You're just your angel from heaven, and you're just angel from heaven. You're a blessing. That's all I can say, because I know that the Lord sent you to me, or he sent me to you, one of these. But I
Amen.
Just know that that's the Lord that did.
Thank you. Thank you. We give all the glory to the Lord, you know. Because you don't know that.
God knows what he's doing.
You might have prayed for the same thing. You know, Lord, give us a friend here on earth who's a true Christian who just wants to talk about you and help us through our hurdles of life and to go on together and have some someone we can call and can convey our hopes and our dreams and our sadness and our disappointments with and lift us up in prayer. And you've all done that for me as well. I would like to say for anybody out there who's lost in your life and you don't know which way to turn and you feel so alone, and those who are stricken down with sicknesses and diseases, and Lord, you know, the doctors tell you there's no hope. Those who have been going through problems in your marriages and divorcing and lost loved ones to death, or who's looking for a healing and who's looking for a marriage, you know, and the children that you have in your life, you know, that might need some extra guidance and strength and you want to teach them in the right way. I'd just like to share these two scriptures with you, and it's from Psalms 3:3-4. It's, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Sheila. That should give you guys enough strength and enough courage right there to thank God, because he's going to lift your head when you're not feeling so great. He's going to lift your head when you're going through your changes of life and struggles and difficulties with your children, your marriage, or, you know, looking for a marriage or your healing and salvation. And God came out of his holy hill of heaven, and he heard you, and he heard your cry, and he heard your voice, and he's there with you. The Lord is going to be able to lift your spirit up, no matter how down or how difficult your changes in your life, events take place in your life. God is there, and God wants to help you with your situation and your changes in your life and your valleys and even your high places. You know, sometimes, you know, a lot of people, they get advances on their job, you know, they get promoted, they're all happy, and sometimes, you know, they forget about God, and they forget about the gift, and that was his favor in your life. You just didn't get that on your own. God gave you the ability to do the work that you do, and God is the one that showed favor in your life to get that promotion. So whether we're down in the valley or we're up on the mountaintop, always remember to give thanks and praise to God, because it is his honor that we are honored to be able to advance in our life and advance in our marriage and you know, just thank the Lord for everything that he's done, because there's a lot of times that my head was really down that God said, look up, look up. All you got to do is look up. You don't even have to say nothing, because God hears the cries of your heart. God is the only one that knows the true intent of our hearts. And trust me, there's a lot of times you folks don't want to know what's in my heart some days, you know, and God does, because he cares enough about you and he cares enough about me to hear the cries of our heart when we can't speak. So anyway, back to what I was telling you about that onion. He's an ogre, and the movie is called Shrek. I had to bring that up. It was just wailing on my heart, and I just had to get that out, so... I just love that movie. That's where I got the onion thing from. So I just wanted to share that with you. Dick Roy, do you have anything you'd like to share?
Well, you know, change is, like you say, the Bible. I can't stress it to folks enough to just dig into your Bible, or if you don't have one, you know, find one, because it's the living word of God. It's an instruction to your life. And, you know, God's got all kinds of promises in there that help you through your changes. You know, in Isaiah 44, verse 18 and 19, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I am about to do a brand new thing. See, I have already begun. Do you not see? I will make a pathway through the wilderness for my people to come home. I will create rivers for them in the desert. So, you know, whether we move, whether we change jobs, different schools, whatever it be in life, you know, the Bible is so full of encouragement and gives us the instructions to overcome this fear of change, you know, that we go through in life. And, you know, we really need to fall onto the Word of God and hold on to it, because these are his promises, and God does not lie, but we will fulfill his words.
Amen for that. Amen. Cher, do you have something else you wanted to share?
Well, Joshua 1 and 9 there says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Hebrews 13 and 8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, the same God that brought these people throughout the Bible through it, and they were blessed on the other side, we still serve him today. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's good news by itself. So, and as the brother said there, you know, just get in that word. And I've been saying this whole time, and Sister Shirley can vouch for it. That's the best thing I can tell you to do, you know, is to get in that word and just soak it up, you know, and just you will gain strength from those scriptures. Oh, the Lord will lead you. Deuteronomy 31 and 6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. So that's just awesome revelation right there. You know, there's that's his word in there, you know, and we either take God at his word or we don't. You know, that's the only way we're going to know him. That's the only way we're going to get strength, you know. That you'll get to know him if you'll pick that word up, and you'll want to know him. To know him is to love him, you know. And to love him, you read that word, you can't help but love him, you know, because you're going to feel strength from him. He's going to lift you, and you're going to be encouraged. And when you're encouraged, you know, through the valleys and stuff you go through, you'll be able to lift somebody else, and it just keeps going. It's a gift that keeps on giving. His love just keeps on giving, you know. It just keeps lifting me higher, his love does. And I love the Lord. And, you know, no matter how early I get up or how late I stay up working for the Lord, reading, studying, doing everything I can do, it's never enough. I could never repay him for what he's done for me. I know that. I know that. But I'll tell you one thing. I want to be caught trying. I want to be caught trying to do something. I really do. You know, sometimes I sing a song that says, I wonder if I've done my best for Jesus. And in Sunday school this morning, the Lord brought that to me. And I brought that song up, and I said, you know, I said, that's a good question for us to ask ourselves, Lord. Have we done enough for you today, you know? If you sound the trumpet, Lord, have I done enough for you? Because it'll help encourage us to do even more tomorrow. And the Lord, when he brought me through that, you know, with my son and pieced me back together, he knew what he was doing. He said that when I reach out to others that was hurting and lifted others, that I would be able to deal with my pain, and that's how that I get through each day. And I will do that for the rest of my life because I know I'm nothing without him, and I know I can't do anything without him. I know I'm the biggest mess up ever was without the Lord, and I don't want to do anything without him. I want him to be in what I say. I want him to be in my thoughts. I want to be a light, and I want somebody to say, I don't know what she's got, but I'd like to have some of it, you know. I want to be that kind of light. I want to be that city that's sitting on a hill, you know, that cannot be hid. I don't want to be hid. I don't want to be hid. I want to win souls, you know. And I think about a song there that says, thank you for giving to the Lord. You know, I can't wait to get to heaven and get there and see the lives that, you know, I've touched, you know, and they come to me and say, because of what you did, you know, I'm not in hell today. I'm here, you know. I can't wait to hear those words, and I can't wait to bow down at my Savior's feet and thank him for all he's done for me face to face. I want to do that, you know, and I just can't wait. Some days I can't wait, but I know I got to because God's still using me. So, hey, he knows what he's doing. I just got to trust him.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to share a little bit here, if it's okay with Sherry, if I talk a little bit about you, Sherry. Is that all right with you?
That's fine.
All right. Well, a while back, I was telling the Lord, I was just very, very lonely, you know, and I just really needed someone that would encourage me and would strengthen me, and, you know, about a year and a half ago, you know, like Robin said, he put me in Robin's path, and she's been a blessing. She's something. I just love you, Robin. And then, not even a few months ago, I've been watching this girl, Sherry, on my site and stuff, you know, in the groups, and she posts so many wonderful, good things and scriptures, and I just, you know, ask the Lord, you know, can I trust her, Lord? Can she help me with the group? And I sent her a little post and a message and asked her, and she was just so thrilled, you know. She said she'd been asking God to use her in a mighty way and to help her feel like she's doing more to reach out to people and be able to touch their life and encourage them. And Sherry, and I know it's the Lord and the anointing on your life, and I just thank God for sending you to us, and I appreciate everything you've done and going to do and continue to do. But I got to share a little bit of what Sherry means to me. She's a friend. She's a confidant. She's my sister in Christ. She's my co-pilot. She's just an uplifter and an encourager of my soul. And she strengthens me because Sherry was diagnosed with a fatal illness. And she's believing in the Lord for her healing. And I'm standing in agreement with her that this cancer is going to have to leave her body right now in the name of Jesus. And there's not going to be any evidence of anything right now in the name of Jesus. And that she's going to continue going on, and she's going to go and do more than she ever thought possible with her ministry, with touching other people's lives, because she just loves the Lord. There's days I just sit because that woman can talk your ears off. And I love her because she'll make me smile. She'll make me cry. And she pushes me to the limit to thinking about my life and things. Am I doing enough for the Lord? You know, I couldn't keep up with what all that Miss Sherry does, and I'm just so thankful that she has a heart to do so many things with such a limited ability right now. But she is in a lot of pain every time, every day. She's got one eyesight, and she is reaching out to all of us who are out here, who are going through changes in our life, to show us that, you know, no matter what we're going through, keep our eyes on Jesus. And as she says, I keep my one eye on Jesus, and my other eye goes for my spiritual realm.
My spiritual eye.
She's just been a real comfort in my life. And I just thank her for being a part of this and for being a part of my life. And I thank Robin for being a part of my life, and Deacon Roy and everybody here. But if Sherry, she gives me strength. She gives me strength to continue on, and she just uplifts me when my soul is feeling downhearted, you know, with changes in my life and everything. And I just want to thank everybody for being on here. I just hope Sherry can continue on with us and touch many of your lives, and I know she can help you. I know she can just give you a peace that you've never had before, and that's because of the anointing of her love that she has from the Lord, and I just thank her for that. And I want to thank Roy, Pastor Roy, for being here tonight and sharing with us. And Robin, you're always so faithful to be here with us and to support us, and I thank you for that. I thank you for the listeners who are out there. And if you have anything to share on your heart that we can pray with you about or stand in agreement with you about, then just go ahead and give us a call and leave us a comment. You don't have to speak. You can even write it in the comment on the page. But the number is 347-857-1194. This has been a really good topic, and, you know, I really enjoy doing these talk shows like this because it really helps me and pushes me to really say, okay, you need to keep learning, you need to keep learning, because I'm afraid, what if I give away all I have, Lord, you know? But he says in his word that don't worry about what you're going to speak or say, because when it's time, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you the words to speak. And I think tonight that's what he's doing, and I thank him for that. But if you're going through any sicknesses or any changes, you know, that you're not sure how to deal with, please give us a call. We're here to help you, and we're here to stand with you, and we're here to just love you and walk you through it and do the best we can. But don't look to us, because we will fail you. We're only human. The only thing we can do is trust in the Lord to guide each and every one of us together as we stand in faith together. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank you all for your prayers and stuff. You know, it's your prayers and your company and, you know, your fellowship that keeps me pressing on, you know, because I know God's not done with me. And thank you all for being my friend. I have been so blessed since I've been on these sites. And I tell anybody, and I tell the church people, you know, that you want to be blessed, get on there. Don't waste your time on games and all this stuff. You know, there's no time to waste. The Lord's coming soon. We need to be working and lifting each other. And I said, I'm just so enthused with it. And if you can't be on there, you don't want to be on there, and you know, pray for us, you know, that it will go out there and that it will do what God wants done with it, you know.
Yeah,
because we're just a voice, you know. It's like we were talking this morning in Sunday school, you know. What if we were just all just an ear, you know? But we're not, you know, and we're all very vital, you know, to winning souls for the kingdom of heaven, you know. And it takes different, you know, body parts to make up a body, you know. And that's the way it is with the body of Christ, you know. And we can be everywhere, you know, working for the Lord and sowing a seed and helping others and loving each other and praying for each other and helping each other through. And that's what brothers and sisters do for me. And I love all you guys and anybody out there that knows how to send up a prayer, you know. I appreciate you for me and the group and the radio program. I mean, pray for it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Does anyone have anything else to share?
You're also out in prayer before my phone bounced. Yeah, I thank you and Sherry for and thank you for what you guys are doing, God's work for us, and spreading His word and helping those in need.
Amen.
Thank you very much. For everybody
like
there.
Go ahead, bro.
I pray for anybody in any need, in any situation, you know, change. Healing, or whatever it is going through. We thank you, Father. God, as believers, we have been given the authority on earth. All of heaven backs us up. But in the name of every sickness and every disease, let God give us the stronghold. And so, whatever we ask for our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, He gives us this. We pray and ask our Father for His healing power and Jesus' name we receive, and our joy is made full in Him. Father, when we agree in prayer with a fellow believer, according to Matthew 18:19, concerning anything we ask, it shall be done for us by our Father, which is in heaven. Jesus is our. He's in our midst as we act upon His word. Our God has made provision for us to be well in spirit, soul, and body. His word living and abiding in us makes our spirit strong. Jesus, Lord, our mind will and in motion. Therefore, our soul as well. Jesus bore our sickness and carried our disease, and we are complete and made whole in Him. We refuse to quit. Lord, we refuse to cave in. We will not be slothful, but we will be a follower with them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We cast down all thoughts that do not agree with God's word. Our God always causes us to triumph in Jesus Christ. And Father, we just ask that you bless this talk show, that you reach all four corners of the world, Lord, that you spread, that your word does not return void. Father, that we reach out to the hurt, the sick, Father, and the ones that don't know who you are. Father, we just thank you for blessing me, Shirley and Sherry with this goal, that you anoint them, Father, that they carry on your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, amen. 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 I'd like to give some scriptures for us to look at and to think that, you know, I said earlier that this is a year for miracles, and this is a year of victory. If you would just read Psalms 46:1 and Proverbs 18:10, this is going to be the theme for this year for each and every person here. And the first one is Psalms 46:1, and it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. He is our strength. He is our refuge. That's where we're going to draw our strength from. And He's going to help us tremendously. And then We're going to go to what I say, Proverbs 18 and 10. 18
yeah.
and 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And if we remember those two scriptures for the rest of the year, I think we're going to see changes and victories in our life that we thought were impossible, because we serve a God of the possibilities. Amen?
Amen. Take the limits off, insist. People need to take
Amen.
The limits off. The Lord spoke to
yeah.
me through Vacation Bible School and told me, said, tell my people to take the limits off of me. I don't have limits. They've got them on me. I can do all things. Take the limits off.
Yeah, yeah. Well, does anybody else have anything else they'd like to share? Well, if all hearts and minds are clear tonight, then we're going to say thank you for listening, and thank you for those of you who have come on the show and spoke with us tonight and stood with us and supported us. And we'd like to thank Deacon Roy for his faithfulness and obedience to Christ to come on the show and share with you some of his trials and some of his life-changing events in his life and how he handled them. And thanks, Sherry, and the listeners. And until next time, we'll God bless you, and we love you, and we pray for you, and we wish the best for you. And if you have any comments you'd like to leave, you're welcome to come down here on the page, and that is blogtalkradio.com with Real Talk with Shirley and Sherry. Click on there and leave your comments, things that you would like to see on the show, things you would like to talk about even, or that you want us to talk about for you and give you some scriptures and some experiences in our life that we've overcome in those areas. I like to say that each and every person on here, that we just need to trust and hold on and just keep going forward. Keep driving and keep going forward and don't give up. Until next
Amen.
Time, we say thank you. God bless you. May your week be prosperous and blessed. And until next time, we will talk to you again on Real Talk with Shirley and Sherry. And God bless you and have a good night and a restful peace. In the name of Jesus, we love you with the love of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Good night, everybody.